The Local Government News Roundup is proudly supported by Davidson. For 30 years, Davidson has been strengthening the local government sector by identifying and providing the people, expertise and experience that local government needs to enhance its capability, productivity and performance. Davidson is nationally recognised for its executive recruitment services and over the past 4 years has built a business advisory practice rapidly evolving into one of the nation's foremost and trusted local government business consultancy firms. The Davidson methodology and approach is simple. Thinking beyond now and aiming to be a valued partner with your local government, not just for the immediate project, but for the next 30 years. Speak to Justin Hanney or Seamus Scanlon to find out more, or head to davidsonwp.com.au. Davidson, your future, your partner. Welcome to the Local Government News Roundup, a curated selection of news from and about councils across Australia and beyond. Coming up, a former council executive loses a VCAT appeal against a council planning decision, a big boost in council funding for a major regional sporting event, a disappointing act of vandalism called out in Greater Shepparton, New South Wales councils coming together to discuss potential demergers despite a legislative roadblock, a Tasmanian mayor calls on the Prime Minister to save a local industry, an Australian First Planning Service launches in WA, and a showdown looms in New York between its mayor and the City Council. Hello, it's Monday the 22nd of January 2024. The Roundup is brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association, the national broadcaster on all things local government, with support from Davidson, the nationally recognised local government recruitment and business advisory service. VCAT has rejected a controversial development proposal put forward by a former Geelong Council executive, Guy Wilson-Brown, and has supported the council's original decision. The tribunal cited existing neighbourhood character and drainage as key issues, leading to the decision that no permit would be issued for the proposed subdivision. Opponents argued that the proposed 3,500 square metre subdivision of two lots would lead to medium density housing that the area's infrastructure wasn't equipped for. While the current proposal was deemed unacceptable, VCAT senior member Rachel Naylor indicated the site could be developed in future with a more acceptable design response. Heritage campaigners have failed to stop the demolition of a 153-year-old Georgian-style mansion in Geelong. The building is making way for the new Geelong Convention and Exhibition Centre, despite calls for it to be repurposed and retained within the precinct. Mayor Trent Sullivan said the responsibility for determining the future of the building rested with the Minister for Planning and that the council had seen value in its retention. The Geelong Advertiser has reported that materials from the building will be repurposed in the new centre and that it will be recognised through an interactive digital display. Kingston City Council has joined with the MAV and the Association of Bayside Municipalities in welcoming the release of the Port Phillip Bay Coastal Hazard Assessment. The report, which took 5 years to complete, uses the latest science to understand current and future coastal hazards. It highlights areas that will be affected by sea level rise and storm surges. Mayor Jenna Davey-Burns emphasised the need for state-level action to amend planning schemes to reflect these risks. Kingston has already implemented measures to improve climate resilience and has appointed a consultant to understand local coastal risks better. In response to a tragic car crash that killed five people at the Royal Daylesford Hotel in November, Hepburn Shire Council has installed large boulders as an interim safety measure. The incident occurred when a car veered off the road and crashed through an outdoor dining area. ABC News reported that the council is awaiting the conclusion of investigations to determine if further safety measures are required. The incident has led to a review of the council's outdoor dining policy, and it sparked concerns about the safety of outdoor dining in the town. Northern Grampians Shire Council has committed $400,000 to the Stall Gift Athletics Carnival as part of a new four-year partnership with Stall Gift Event Management. The Stall Times News reported last week that a partnership agreement was signed with the aim of boosting community engagement, economic growth and tourism. Mayor Rob Haswell said the council was committed to ensuring the Stall Gift continues to grow, and the significant increase in funding is a sign of the event's importance to the Stall community and the region. And a disappointing incident of vandalism took place in Greater Shepparton over the New Year period when six Callistemon trees were severely damaged. The trees, which had been growing for over 3 years, were snapped off at ground level and had to be subsequently removed by the council's arboriculture team. The financial impact is estimated to be over $450 per tree, taking into account the initial watering and formative pruning that the trees underwent. This is not the first time such an incident has occurred. Similar juvenile trees along Wyndham Street were also specifically targeted and deliberately vandalised in the past. The council is appealing to the public to report any similar acts of vandalism to the police, especially if they have video footage from businesses or residences. Heading interstate and across the border into New South Wales, a delegation from Federation Council will attend a local government demerger meeting, but Mayor Pat Burke insists it's not indicative of a split being pursued by his municipality. The meeting has been organised by Cootamundra Gundagai Regional Council and will discuss financial remedies and possible extra funding avenues. Representatives of Snowy Valleys, Hilltops and Snowy Monaro councils have also been invited to the meeting to take place later this month, according to a report from the Wagga Wagga Daily Advertiser. While at least three members of Parliament have indicated they would attend the discussions, the local government minister Ron Honig has not said whether he would take part. Mayor Burke said his council sees the meeting as an opportunity to argue for financial assistance rather than a gateway to a demerger. And while public hearings continue into a proposed demerger of Inner West Council, the Sydney Morning Herald this morning reports that change is unlikely because a demerger would be unconstitutional under current law. The state government reportedly has advice that a key section of the Local Government Act inserted by the previous Labor government is invalid and that the legislation doesn't provide a legal pathway to demergers. A private members' bill has been introduced to amend the Act and give councils a right to demerger plebiscites, but it's unclear whether the current government will support the proposed changes. Snowy Monaro Council has expressed gratitude for the support shown by the Minister for Skills, TAFE and Tertiary Education, Steve Wan, in prioritising the Snowy Mountain Special Activation Precinct investment for Jindabyne's water and wastewater infrastructure. The SAP investment is seen as a solution to the town's water and wastewater issues, which have been a problem for decades. Jindabyne's current water treatment system has struggled to maintain water quality standards due to severe weather, low lake levels, and the proximity of the Mwamba Aqueduct. This has resulted in 5 boil water alerts in the past 2 years, leaving the town without drinkable tap water for 41 days. Furthermore, the town's sewage treatment plant is nearing capacity, and future growth will exceed its capacity in the short term. Mayor Chris Hanna and CEO David Hogan have been in discussions with Minister Wan and say they're committed to working with the New South Wales Government to address these issues. Three regional New South Wales councils have launched a collaborative initiative to promote the Castlereagh River infrastructure and the real country experience. The strategic project involves Coonamble, Gilgandra and Warrnambool Shire councils and aims to engage the community and visitors and support the region's economic and social development. The project is funded by the state government and invites feedback from the public through an online exhibition. Now to Queensland, and the Courier-Mail has reported on the costs being incurred by councils to deliver services that are the responsibility of other levels of government and the private sector. A Local Government Association of Queensland survey found that councils are spending $360 million each year on a broad range of services like education infrastructure, postal services, CCTV, rebroadcasting free-to-air television, and even running supermarkets. It estimates the costs of providing non-core services have increased by nearly 380% in 20 years. LGAQ CEO Alison Smith said cost shifting was having a staggering impact on councils and communities, and she's called for a recalibration of the cost and funding structure. To Tasmania, the Mayor of West Coast Council, Shane Pitt, has urged the Prime Minister to take action to support salmon farming in Macquarie Harbour. The industry is awaiting a decision from Environment Minister Tanya Plibersek on whether fish farmers can continue operations in the harbour. The Burnie Advocate has reported on how Mayor Pitt has stressed the importance of the industry to the local community and called on the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, to visit the area and take action to end the uncertainty. The City of Launceston has outlined plans to redevelop the NTCA sports complex to meet the growing needs of the northern sporting community. The proposed redevelopment includes expanded facilities, new indoor and outdoor cricket training facilities, improved vehicular access and parking, and a new shared function centre. The plan also proposes to include the Launceston Tennis Centre and the Elphin Sports Stadium in the master plan. The city expects to seek funding support from other tiers of government for the project. And across to Western Australia, where the City of Vincent has launched a green track service to promote environmentally sustainable design in residential development applications. The council says it's a first for local government in Australia. Applicants who submit a life cycle assessment, which measures the environmental impact of the building over its lifetime, will receive priority assessment, cost subsidy, and expert consultation. The service aims to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, water consumption and construction costs while enhancing the quality of life for residents. Meanwhile, in Stirling, a recycling trial for vapes and e-cigarettes is underway. The six-month trial is supported by the state government and the Waste Authority and will contribute to a study of long-term recycling methods for e-cigarette products. A council spokesperson told Perth Now that the results would inform local government and Walga advocacy for a product stewardship scheme.
Now on the local government news roundup, it's time for the international spotlight.
Let's head to New York City first, where Mayor Eric Adams has vetoed two bills that would have banned solitary confinement in city jails and required more transparency in police encounters with civilians. The city council, though, says it has enough votes to override the vetoes. Mayor Adams argued the new mandates would harm the police work that has led to an overall drop in crime last year. He said the solitary confinement ban would make it more difficult to keep jails safe and that the transparency requirements would make it harder for police to do their jobs. City Council Speaker Adrian Adams disagreed, arguing that the jail restrictions are needed to address problems at Rikers Island, the city's main jail complex. She said the transparency requirements are necessary to build trust between the police and the communities they serve. The City Council is expected to vote on the vetoes in the coming weeks. If the vetoes are overridden, the new laws would go into effect. More on that story from NBC News. To the UK and from BBC News, three councils in Kent, namely Canterbury City Council, Dover District Council and Thanet District Council, have experienced disruptions to their online services due to cyber attacks. The councils are currently investigating the incidents and have taken precautionary measures that may impact access to parts of their websites. They're working with the National Cyber Security Centre to address the issue. Brighton and Hove City Council issued 2,235 fly-tipping fines in a year, more than any local authority outside of London, indicating its seriousness in tackling the fly-tipping issue. In contrast with the increase in cases in Sussex, nearby Arran District Council, which had the highest number of reported incidents, issued no fines. BBC News says that Brighton was the only local authority not to be a London borough in the top 10 councils to have issued fixed penalty notices. A new report has revealed serious shortcomings in the handling of school provision by Renfrewshire Council. The Accounts Commission has described the council's gross incompetence in calculating the number of primary school places for a new 4,000-home settlement, which has left the community short of hundreds of school places. The report criticises the council for its lack of transparency and appropriate engagement with the community, according to an article from localgov.co.uk. The miscalculations are estimated to cost £60 million to rectify, further straining the council's financial situation. The commission has urged the council to implement its action plan quickly and transparently, which the council says it is doing. And in Croatia, a small town known as Lagrad, which houses fewer than 2,000 residents, has come up with an innovative method to attract young families and boost its population. They're offering houses for a symbolic price of 13 euro cents. The unusual initiative has been implemented before and has seen some success, with five houses already sold and three families moving in since it was first introduced in 2018. The peculiar price of 13 cents originates from the town's earlier policy known as Houses for a Kuna. The kuna was the local currency before Croatia adopted the euro. At the time of the currency conversion, one kuna was equivalent to 13 euro cents. To qualify for the deal, applicants must be under the age of 45 and should be in a marital or extramarital partnership. Additionally, they should not have a criminal record or own any other property. The town is aiming to create a community of young families that can contribute to its future growth and development. More on that story from themayor.eu. As always, you can find the links to the stories we've referenced today in the transcript, which is at lgnewsroundup.com. That's the latest for The Roundup, this episode recorded on the 22nd of January 2024 and brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association with support from Davidson. The Local Government News Roundup is recorded in the city of Greater Geelong, Victoria, on the land of the Wadawurrung people of the Kulin Nation. I'll have more news for you very soon. Until next time, thanks for listening. And bye for now. The Local Government News Roundup is brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association. As Victorian councils go to elections later this year, the VLGA is ready to support communities and councils in good governance. A series of workshops has been designed to increase understanding of the local government sector, the work of councils, and the role of a councillor. Registrations are being taken now for workshops in May on standing for local government and local women leading change. And member councils should look out for the VLGA's 2024 Local Government Election Pre-Candidate Prospectus, available soon. Find out more about how the VLGA can support your council and community during this important time in the local government election cycle. Visit vlga.org.au.